There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, and away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Hey, y'all, Sean Sullivan, a couple hours for you and I to hang out. Lots to talk about, and you're, of course, a big part of the show. Telephone and text line, 343-0106. I guess it's 251 these days, and 343-0106. That's our number. Of course, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, which I hope you do, you can send us one of those talkback messages as well. You know, we've been, when you hear other people advertising this new technology about having a talkback message, remember we were doing that last year, okay? Just to point that out. The app, go grab it. It's over at the Google Play Store for Android users or the App Store for iTunes users. Look for FMTALK, number one, number zero, number six, number five. Don't put a point between the 6 and 5, so just FM Talk 106.5. You'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. It's got, of course, the streaming and the podcast access, and you can check out show schedules and traffic maps and weather information, all that on there, plus our social media feeds and that talkback feature, just to name a few of the items on our app. So you want to check that out. All right, as we get started, what a weekend. Spent glued in headphones to world news reports from Ukraine and, of course, here back stateside, where the story is one of them banning Russian oil into our country. Now, first, we're going to get some nuance in this discussion in this hour. Have a nuanced discussion about it because that's what we do around here. But they have not made that move yet in Congress, right? They're gone for the weekends. They had a break, and they're going to get – it's just like it's not till Thursday – I think till Thursday they're going to take a vote on whether to do the appropriation for more military aid for Ukraine. Now, you could be for or against the military aid for Ukraine. I think most people are for you know, helping Ukrainians fight their war that Putin has brought to them. But even if you're against it, wait till Thursday? I mean, y'all's job is to legislate, right, and appropriate, right? To wait till Thursday to get around to do that? And what about this on the question of gas prices? I mean, the market's already reacted. National average for a gallon of gas hit over $4 this weekend, the highest since back in July of 08. Anthony Blinken this weekend was doing his Eastern European tour. I think when he did this, he was in Moldova when he said this.
We're adding to the sanctions virtually every day. We're doing it in coordination with Europeans. When there's a difference between us, if there's a loophole on one side or the other, we're closing it. That's part of the work that I was doing here. And when it comes to oil, Russian oil, I was on the phone yesterday with the president and other members of the cabinet on exactly the subject. And we are now talking to our European partners and allies to look in a coordinated way at the prospect of banning the import of Russian oil while making sure that there is still an appropriate supply of oil on world markets. That's a very active discussion as we speak.
I mean, that this takes that much coordination, really, that you have. We're funding Ukraine to fight the Russians at the same time. In a certain percentage, we're funding Russia to fight the people we're arming, right? But the options aren't good out there. So let's go back. So we got national average over $4, you know, right now. So we're pushing. Locally, there are plenty of places that are over $4. There's a few left, I think, as of this morning that were under $4. But it's going up. Is it $4.50? Is it $5 a gallon gas? Is that where we're heading? United States imports about 4 Listen, this shows you how the web works. Between 4% and 10% of the oil from Russia. Now, that's a big span, but that's I got sources saying 4%, some saying 10%. I know Dalton the other day talked about the state of Hawaii taking like 40% of their oil from Russia. So that may go into some of the formula here for the United States, obviously being one of our states. Europe and China, to flip this around. So we take, let's say it's a high number. We take 10% of our oil from Russia. Oil in Europe and China, 85% Russian. 85%. It's pretty interesting what the Chinese take will be on this, but what about Europe? Take 85%. It sure would be nice if we would have ability to provide Europe, you know, with oil to make. So if oil goes if gasoline goes $5 a gallon here, how many euros is it going to cost those folks in Europe? So, and maybe that's what Blinken's talking about in that. But 85% of the supply for Europe and China comes from Russia, at the max 10% here in the United States. Obviously, we've got to stop taking Russian oil. But then what's the second part of this conversation? Well, let's go back to last week when Speaker Pelosi said this.
Madam Speaker, there's been a push by some Democrats to ban the import of Russian oil. And I believe that Senators Manchin and Murkowski are going to put forth a bill on that today. Where do you stand?
I'm all for that. Ban it.
Ban the oil?
Ban the oil coming from Russia, yeah. From the spoil. And there's, I'm not for drilling on public lands.
Okay. Wait a second. So we're going to ban the Russian oil, but then we're not going to do anything to deal with that. One of the problems, though, once again, I said we'll have a nuanced discussion, which I know is often lost in a lot of talk radio. Doing some reading over the weekend, one of the issues we have, and we can, I am 100%, let's get the production side open back up. Let's Bakken Field, let's get that moving. Let's get, U.S. production up. Refining seems to be an issue. And I know there are people that are more in touch with that business and I that listen to the show, and if you can let me know if that's accurate, but it looks like even if we increase production quickly, which I want us to, we've got a ways to go on refining and getting the refineries going. So you know what? When we should have started that was yesterday, but it should have been years ago, but we should start that yesterday. So you got gas prices, 14-year high since 2008. We're going to have an increase obviously beyond that. How much? I don't know. That's what the speculators. There's some speculators out there. They're talking about $200 a barrel oil. I don't know. We have an economy kind of based around $100 a barrel oil. What is that going to do? Which, by the way, a side note, programming note, tomorrow at 12:30, Jay Young, who's visited with me before, he's a guy that's in Texas, works in the oil speculation world. He's been on with us, and in the past, he's been pretty much on the mark. He's going to join us tomorrow to talk more about what he thinks we're looking at for world oil prices. Remember back during President Trump's administration, which, because it reminds me, looking at Jay Young's name for the show tomorrow, I had him on when oil went to $0 a barrel. Remember that, or actually negative? Remember where we... So just remember that. At a point under President Trump, we were at zero... It didn't last long, but remember that, like at $0 a barrel, which was not good either. $0 a barrel for oil, and now we could, I mean, we're at what, 130 today, could be at 150, could be higher. So where do we go? Do we go 450? Do we go $5 a gallon gasoline? And what does that mean? Well, that just doesn't mean it stinks when you go fill up. Trust me, I've got the, like Dalton, I heard them talking this morning, I've got the 30-plus gallon tank on the F-150 that I drive, it's quite a scene. It's quite a bloody scene when I go fill up, especially now. It's going to affect that, but it's going to affect, obviously, everything you buy. Everything that's moved on a truck, everything that has petroleum products in it is going to go up and up and up on top of the already existing inflation in the mix. So what do we do? Do we continue to let Russia sell oil in the world market to us and European partners and fund them, or do we say no and take the lick back here at home? And the other part of this that leaves me mind numb is that we want to swap Russian oil for who? That's right, Iran. So in the nuclear deal that's being discussed here, you know, we would get Iranian oil would move into the market. We would, you know, quit sanctioning them, let them bring oil into the market to make up for the Russian oil. The Iranians? The Iranians? Really? So that's going to be our fix? I mean, I guess you could say the Iranians at least are not right now fighting the war. They're not in a war. I mean, we take Saudi oil and they're fighting the war in Yemen. And then the other story that I think was lost in the mix last week, but how about this? Let me get my headline here. You know who else we're talking to about getting oil from? Remember last week when I was just saying this, like, well, I said I would rather take Venezuelan oil than Russian oil. Reuters. U.S. officials traveled to Venezuela, a Russian ally, for talks. Senior U.S. officials traveled to Venezuela on Saturday for talks with President Nicolas Maduro's government, seeking to determine whether Caracas is prepared to distance itself from close ally Russia amid its invasion of the Ukraine. According to a person familiar with the matter, the trip, the highest level U.S. visit to Venezuela in years, came as part of the U.S. effort to isolate Russian President Vladimir Putin. Some analysts also see U.S. sanctioned Venezuela as a potential alternative source of oil supplies should Washington attempt to risk Moscow's energy shipments. U.S. and Venezuelan officials held a round of talks on Saturday but reached no agreement. The source told Reuters on the Knesset, you know, everything's anonymous. So there we go. So we're gonna ban Russian oil, which I agree with. But instead of saying, hey, we're going to take the lick here for a short period of time, but then we're going to get our ducks in a row and we're going to be energy independent. What are we doing? Well, let's see what the Iranians can provide us. Maybe Venezuela. Maybe Maduro. Maybe we'll do that. That's what we've laid out at this point. The best option here is if we don't take Russian oil, then we could get it from Iran and Venezuela. Get an idea. How about we produce it ourselves? How about that? All right, we'll get some texts on this and calls at 343-0106. Also, the fertilizer world, fertilizer world, we talk about a bunch how much it's been going up over time. $20 a bag this weekend, not the bulk price, but the bag price, for basic triple 13 fertilizer. And that's going nothing but higher. The commodity world, so I talked to a friend of mine that's in that, and he said, like, every order he's placed here recently on bulk commodities of fertilizer and feed and seed and all that, every time he places the order, it's more than, like, the week before or 2 weeks before. So that obviously is going to come into effect in everything we buy. And then, yes, the backfill. I have a number one note on my list here this morning was to use the word backfill as much as possible in today's show. That's the term over the weekend, talking about this three-way deal to get fighter jets to the Ukraine. All right, the Ukrainians can fly MiGs. They can't fly our technology, basically what this boils down to. So it would be a trade thing, right? Hey, Poland, which I got to tell you, if I'm Poland, I'm a NATO partner and I want to make this happen. At the same time, I'm nervous that I'm going to have people trained up on the new technology as quickly as possible. Because Poland, if you hadn't checked the world map, is right on the border of Ukraine, where they've taken in, I think Poland itself has taken almost 1 million refugees. Can you imagine that? 1 million that they're in the size country of Poland that they're having to house and feed. And it seems like they're doing a very good job at it with world help. But my gosh. It says, yeah, story from Politico says U.S. remains in discussions with Poland to potentially backfill their fleet of fighter planes if Warsaw decides to transfer its used MiG-29s to Ukraine. In ongoing talks, President Volodymyr Zelensky pleads with Congress for help to underscore the frantic push to find weapons to equip Ukrainian forces as they continue to fight off a massive Russian invasion. Well, listen, about everything that we say we're going to do, Putin says, well, that's war. So even if we don't do a no-fly zone, if we're providing these planes for Ukraine and backfilling to Poland, how much of escalation is that? Talk about that. Grab your texts and calls when we return. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, the number 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. I'm Sean. I read through some of these texts here. Oh, and then I've got to get to, I mean, I mentioned the Eurovision story, right, with Jeff? That'll show them as we do our things here where they're taking Freedom Juice off the shelves here in Alabama from the ABC stores. What about the Russians not being able to be in the singing contest? That'll show them. All right. Text. Let's get to these. Terry says the job of congressional representatives is to raise money for their respective parties. The business of the American people is an afterthought. Tim says, I don't understand what all these government officials are doing. These people are getting slaughtered like animals. Putin is bombing civilian targets. It's kind of like a pay me now, pay me later. Like a pay me now, pay me later. You know, on the civilian thing, Tim, so sad. I mean, the stories are, I mean, absolutely atrocious. And then you got the three civilian corridors called on over the weekend that the Russians violated. I mean, I would argue, actually, if you look at, I think, Geneva Conventions, the corridor is not even a thing. You're supposed to, civilians are supposed to have full protection. Problem is, and once again, there's no wavering on my support for Ukrainians fighting the Russians. I'm 100% Ukrainian. But when you do have civilians that have a Kalashnikov under their jacket, or things like we've dealt with, right? That they're fighters right now, and then they go hide the rifle, and then they're civilians, which is the way you fight a guerrilla war. It's the way you do it. Russia's going to be called on for killing civilians through this whole process. Now, even if the civilian, even if they did not arm the civilians, I think the same thing would happen. But in this case, Russia's in a place where they can argue, which I don't really care about their arguments, but they can say, oh, well, the civilians are the military. Unnamed texter, Biden banned American oil much faster. Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're, well, we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to talk about talking about it. And then either you're going to do it or you're going to not. My gosh. But then have a better plan than buying Iranian or Venezuelan oil. Although I would take Venezuelan oil before any of the other players, because I think we have a chance of influencing some change there. Even though in the short term, yes, are you funding Maduro? Sure you are. But Maduro is not in an active war right now. Russia is. Iran could be soon, and the Saudis are. Unnamed texter says, diesel is a byproduct of gas. How is it more costly? Oh, preach. Now, listen, I filled up tractors this weekend in preparation. I can't find any off-road diesel very easily anymore, so I end up buying on-road diesel for the farm equipment, which I know I shouldn't, but it's just, you know, one of these things where if you got to take an hour to go drive to get off-road diesel, it's not worth your time. So the reason diesel is more expensive a lot of times is because the tax for not for red dye, not for off-road diesel, but for on-road diesel, you've got to, it's like 25 cents more a gallon in tax, or it's like 25 cents. The federal tax on diesel, I think, is like 25 cents a gallon versus like 6 cents on gasoline. So that's one of the reasons that on-road diesel is more expensive. Let's see. Maximus says you don't give Dalton a company car. None of us got a company car. We got the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit. That's our only company vehicle. Todd says diesel at the diesel fuel at the Pilot in Satsuma, $5.09 per gallon. I did do good this weekend. Thank you, Todd. I did make the right move. I filled up it. Everything that takes diesel on the farm is topped off. All right, Supermom says, I listened to a podcast that we have to build new kinds of refineries to support American crude. Russia has heavy crude, and that's what our refineries are made for. The Keystone Pipeline creates a different kind of crude not suitable to ours. I've heard the same thing, read the same thing, Supermom. That's one of the things. We have two parts of this. We need to start drilling, obviously, to affect world supply, right, to put more supply on that's not coming from Russia. At the same time, it is incumbent upon us, yes, to get those refineries up that will take, because the Keystone Pipeline, that's part of the problem too, and I'm pro-pipeline, not against it, but that was to move oil out of our country, right? I mean, that was a part of the pipeline, to move it and refine it and send it elsewhere. So Nick says, what's sad is even after gas is over $5 a gallon, after Shell stores remain empty, after people can barely afford to go to work, there will still be people who vote for Democrats. Let's go to the phones. I think I got one of those people on. Paul is in Mobile. Hey, Paul. You like that transition?
Oh, boy. You know, the pipeline oil didn't disappear. And listen, in 2008, oil got to $147 a barrel,
mm-hmm.
and the world stopped. People couldn't or wouldn't pay it. And we had a world recession. And 6 months later, you know, oil was at $40 a barrel. There's if you cut the Russian oil, you're going to drive up the price. And
absolutely.
At some point, we certainly will get above 147, but at some point, 160, 170, 180, the world will stop and we'll go into recession.
Okay, well, here, listen, the music's
you
here.
You do not have the personnel. We are short workers all across the country.
Hey,
you don't have.
You got to hold on. Hard breaks here. I'm gonna hold you over because I want to hear the rest of your lecture when we return here, Paul. But you got to hold because the news starts in 8 seconds, and then we'll be back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my man Trey. He's been doing it 14. I guess 14. It'd be going on 15 because we'll be 14 going on 15 years for 1-800-GOT-JUNK here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. The guy I use at my home here at the radio station or storage unit. So many of y'all have done the same. You got junk, Dan. Dan's done it. Dalton's done it. If you got junk, you want it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Could be stuff outside the house, inside the house. It could be just a bunch of stuff you don't know where to take or stuff you physically can't move. That's cool. They can handle that as well. And I love it because the appointment process is that. You make an actual appointment. When you go online or you pick up the phone, they'll find out a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and they set a good old-fashioned appointment. They show up. You walk around and say, I want that gone and that gone and that gone. They'll quote your price if you say yes. They get to work getting done right then. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Check them out. All right, get to the phones and the text aplenty here. And I want to just put a couple notes in here. If I don't, I kind of just want to leave these markers here and we'll come back to them. Transnistria, go Google that, Transnistria. I think this is going to be part of this further story. It may take months, but I think Transnistria comes in the story. Plus, I made a note to myself over the weekend that we got to leave Putin a way out. I'm no apologist or sympathetic person for Putin. You got to leave him a way out. Because if not, well, God forbid, right? I don't know what that way is, but some way that he saves face, it could, I don't know if there's a chance of that, but there has to be some kind of way to an exit route for Putin, but I don't know where it is at this point. I just feel that needs to be part of the conversation. All right, let's see. Unnamed texter, call me Liberty Bell. Liberty Bell then. It's either escalate or capitulate in Ukraine. Our country is being led by degenerate fools. Tim says it's almost impossible for you to get a permit now to open up a refinery. Bingo, Tim. That's where government can get involved, right? Private sector, if you give them the opportunity, will build out the refinery. But let's talk about that. You go on and say, hey, we're going to make adjustments to the permitting process and make this easier. Because that it looks like, from things I read this weekend, even when production rises, we do get bottleneck at a refinery level. Ash says diesel surpassed gas in price several years ago when the refineries had to put in desulfurization units, hence low sulfur diesel and added processing. Unnamed texter, Democrat voters like blaming everything on Trump, but make their argument that the presidents have nothing to do with gas prices whenever a Democrat is in office. Sean, in Baldwin County, Venezuelan crude is harder to refine and has the viscosity of warm tar. It is difficult to transport. Okay, see, this is good information. Like, Sean, like, compare it to, like, WTI. Where is it, like, Venezuelan crude compared to, like, a West Texas intermediary? Should we take more out of West Texas? Would it be harder to process that than the Venezuelan crude? Terry says, no, the XL pipeline was not supposed to take oil out of the country. It was supposed to go to heavy oil refineries on the Gulf Coast. The oil is similar in form from Venezuela. Here we go, according to PolitiFact. Thank you. My man Fred, missed you, Fred, hadn't heard from you in a while. Polish backfill sounds like something to look up in the Urban Dictionary. Ah, yes, the backfill. Dave is in Foley. He's up next. Hey, Dave.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon.
Since we have Winken in the White House, does that make Harris and Biden Blinken and Nod? No, we have Blinken. We need Winken and Nod.
Yes, well, you could say one of them's nodding off. I don't know where we get that. We got the Blinken, and we got the Nod.
Yep.
So you're saying that Vice President Harris would be the Winken?
Probably.
Okay. There we go. Duly noted. I'll make a note. That is your timestamp of 12:40 on this Monday. All right. You got it, Dave. Thank you, man.
Stuck in your head forever now.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. I have no more room left for stuff. So I want to come back to this, the backfill story. This is good. It is going to be interesting. And it's actually, I think, I'm for, if we can do it this way. But like somebody said earlier, either, you know, commit or capitulate. I don't know. When you're talking about nuclear power, I'm not the hawk that some people are here. But if we could, you've got the Ukrainian pilots know how to fly on MiG-29s. Obviously, we don't have MiG-29s, but Poland has MiG-29s. And I think Poland was already in something I'd read over the weekend, was already in discussions to buy some U.S. jets. So I think that was maybe something like that was already happening. But the idea would be that Poland would give the MiG-29s, right, to Ukraine pilots. But where are they going to take off from? That's the other question. The Lviv and those bases there. But as they move in, I just wonder if we'll get to a point, if the Russian offensive goes too much further to the west, that there won't be the airfields, or they'll bomb out the airfields, and they'll have to take off from other countries, NATO countries, to go fly missions, you know, over Ukraine, and then they're boogieing back to Poland, and here follows the Russian fighter. A lot of worries there, but yes, that's the backfill was the weekend word, right? To backfill the. So in other words, Poland, hey, y'all give Ukrainians some MiG-29s, and we'll give y'all some American jets to make up for it. That's where that is. A lot of discussion of the Venezuelan. This is good. The Venezuelan crude. This is I'm learning some. Experts on the text line here, how does the crude out of Venezuela compare to, like I said, West Texas Intermediate? But, like, you know, we talk about the what comes out of the, like, the Bakken field and others here in the United States, that it's tough, it's not as, you know, it's not sweet crude. Compare those two. Like, would it be easier to refine the Venezuelan crude or what comes out of some of the places in the Dakotas? Any pros out there? Although we do have, like I said, we've got Jay Young on tomorrow who knows this stuff. We'll talk to him about that. All right. Terry, that's what I'm saying. You can't fly combat missions from neutral countries. It's a violation of international law. That's what my worry would be, right? Be the worrisome process. Oh, somebody asking about the Eurovision. The Eurovision thing is a little bit of I guess not a joke, it's a real story, but in amongst all the virtue signaling, I guess I can throw this in because we're doing it here in Alabama with the pouring out the freedom juice, not selling it on ABC in ABC stores. Story from Eurovision TV, which the only reason I'm familiar with Eurovision is that Fire Saga movie with Will Ferrell that is incredibly funny. So Eurovision, I guess, is like the big singing contest in Europe, right? Well, this came out on Twitter, I guess, last week. It said the European Broadcasting Union has announced that no Russian act will participate in this year's Eurovision Song Contest. The executive board of EBU made the decision following a recommendation earlier today by the Eurovision Song Contest governing body. Did they have a governing body? They said this is based on the rules of the event and the value of the values of the EBU. Reference group recommendation was also supported by the EBU's television committee. Good, lots of committees. I like that. Need that. The decision reflects concern that in light of the unprecedented crisis in Ukraine, the inclusion of a Russian entry into this year's contest would bring the competition into disrepute. Before making this decision, the EBU took time to consult widely among its membership. The EBU is an apolitical member organization of broadcasters. Okay, so there you go. So no Russian singing group. I think there's something there that they wanted a couple years ago, some Russian rock band or something like that. But yeah, Eurovision is saying no to Russia. So I mean, we've got the pincher points of no oil from Russia and no singing and dancing from Russia. That will I'll straighten them out. Right, the troop story too, and I've got this. We get to this, and also coming up in just a little bit, the another story from Lanyap on the Nia Bradley, the Pritchard Water saga. Wait till you hear this. But first, this comes from the Mirror. It says Russia has lost 1,000 troops a day to ferocious Ukrainians in big blow to Putin. Now, I would argue that some of these numbers might be inflated, right, for propaganda reasons. But let's say it's half of that, which puts this number, I mean, Putin lost more in the first 7 days of this conflict than we lost in the first year in Iraq. When did the families of those people start to say no? There were protests all weekend in Europe, so I mean in Russia, so maybe it's soon.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Grab some text, and then we get a local story in here that needs to continued reporting from Lanyap about the Pritchard Water Board. Pretty interesting in a bad way. Somebody says, unnamed texter, why build refineries if they're killing fossil fuels off? How fair is that? So I'm saying a change. You're going to see a change when Democrats aren't in the White House. You're going to see this memory of what's going on right now. It will still be alive. I really do believe it. Okay, so WTI is kind of gold standard American oil sweet. Okay, thank you, Sean. Somebody says Bakken oil is light sweet crude. Then why are I've read so many stories about Bakken. The process of getting it out of the shale made it tougher. I have to go back and research that. So, because I thought Bakken was tough to, it was corrosive and all that. But I don't pretend to be an oil expert. Although I got the guy on tomorrow. He's really good at 12:30. Supermom, is Eurovision real? Holy wow! I thought it was just from the movie Pitch Perfect. No, the movie is that the Fire Saga movie? Yeah, it's a real thing too. It's like a lampooning of that. Okay, Marty's text, you're correct. Marty reminded me Doug Masters learned to fly F-16s by just sneaking into the simulator with his dad. Then he teamed up with Colonel Chappie. You know how this stuff is getting real. Can't be that hard to transition our jets, can it? Iron Eagle. That was 1986, Marty? I remember that movie well. Those mourning Russian families might get more emboldened to fight Ukrainians. Okay. So let me get to this before we run out of time. So over at LanyapMobile.com, another update here for the this comes off of trying to get Bond here and get Nia Bradley out of jail. It says a story from Gabriel Tynes over at LanyapMobile.com. Former Pritchard Water Board manager Nia Bradley pleaded not guilty to two charges of theft and was granted bond this morning, although Assistant District Attorney Clay Rossi warned she is, quote, a sophisticated fraudster, end quote, who remains a flight risk. During an in-person hearing before District Court Judge Zach Moore, defense attorney Jason Darley reiterated that Bradley, and if you're just joining us, this is Nia Bradley, Pritchard Water, Bradley voluntarily surrendered when a warrant was issued for her arrest 2 weeks ago and claimed passport documents the state used to deny bond were sought in January before Bradley knew there was an investigation. Darley, the defense attorney, added that millions of people hold passports and the state has not provided any other evidence that Bradley and her husband Anthony were preparing to leave the country. Anthony's out on bond on a related charge of receiving stolen property after he was arrested during the execution of a search warrant at the Bradley home on February 25th. Both Anthony Bradley and Anthony Bradley Jr. were in the courtroom this morning along with other supporters of the defendant. All right. So then Rossi, so the district attorney, Rossi argued, from the district attorney's office, argued that the court granted bond to Anthony on the theory that he was in complete opposite position as Nia and Anthony had no direct connection to Pritchard Waterboard. On the contrary, Bradley has been accused of well over $200,000 worth of theft, a number Rossi said will grow. He added the passports were obtained when the investigation was heating up, and despite representations made in Darley's motion for the bond, the state has found no evidence Nia Bradley has any legitimate small business enterprise to manage. So go on down this story here, and get here. Let's see. Rossi said in lieu of no bond, the state was requesting a maximum bond of $500,000 plus electronic monitoring and other conditions. Interestingly, Rossi said Bradley is the first person ever charged under the new state statute of aggravated theft by deception. So first in. All right. It goes in here. Let's see. All right, then it says, like in the previous hearing when information about passports were revealed, Rossi then disclosed a new angle of the investigation. So here was the part that raised an eyebrow when I was reading it this morning. Here's a quote from Rossi. We continue every day to find new schemes Mrs. Bradley was involved in, including EBT cards for her and her husband. So the Bradleys, they're saying, both had EBT cards, despite the fact that she had a $100,000 salary at the water board and was taking at least $200,000 on the credit cards. We don't know the full extent of what Mrs. Bradley was involved in. We don't know what resources she has at her disposal. Given her sophistication and the overt attempt to obtain a passport, we maintain she remains a flight risk. How about that? So that now we got... So you're getting making a six-figure salary, they say? I mean, that part is probably not in dispute, right? I mean, that's on the, yeah, I mean, you make a six-figure salary and getting EBT cards. Well, that's going to be, I think that charge will probably stick. So there you go. There's the update. I think we can put, if you're signed up at lanyapmobile.com, you can get it. I can put the main link up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, and then you can check it out. Here we go. Prop that up. Boom, boom, boom. And check out that additional reporting there from Gabe Tynes and the folks at Lanyap. All right, let's see. That's good. Hey, Sean, are the Smashing Putins still going to be at Hangout Fest? Let's hope. Let's hope so. That'd be, if that band could be organized quickly, that'd be something. Also, now we've gone up to 120. So it was once it's down 120 a barrel. That's the latest update there. I'm getting these things coming in kind of throughout the show. You see the deterrent strategy that, and I'm for a deterrent strategy, but you got to leave. There has got to be a way for Putin, as nuts as he is, to like exit this thing. If not, I don't know how this doesn't go to World War III. Story here from Fox News says Russian President Putin's invasion of Ukraine is just one example of how he will undermine other nations to achieve his ultimate goal. And unless America and other European nations begin taking action, it won't be the last time he will take military action in the face of resistance, according to former Defense Intelligence Agency officer. While there's difficulty across the globe to push back against Putin's current war with Ukraine, Rebecca Koffler, former DIA officer and the author of Putin's Playbook, Russia's secret plan to defeat America, spoke with Fox News Digital about the need for America and other European nations to act quickly to implement a deterrent strategy to Russia's aggression. Like what? That's the problem. That's the problem. I mean, what's the next deterrent? What's the next deterrent, right? It steps us into a military engagement, an active military engagement, which there are people out there arguing that we're already in it. Right, that we're already in it, so we should just go ahead and, I think somebody earlier on the text line. So we're already in it, so just go ahead and get to it. The Chamberlain Churchill references, you know, come one after another. But is it that? Is what's happening with Ukraine? Once again, and I'm pro Ukraine. But isn't that a reason to engage the United States in a war anywhere, let alone a war against Russia? There's a lot of saber rattling going on from, you know, neocons for sure. But is that what we want? I mean, I think the American people want to ban Russian oil. They can't figure out how to do that, but they seem to be in an active discussion of getting us into a full war. Coming right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile.